Isn't today great? Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
Oh, mama, the drama. It's a great day to talk about it. I'm Amy Beth Arkley Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, politics, personal growth, and justice. How are you? I know, it's a crazy week. Almost in the rear view, we'll take it all on, the Roe v. Wade perilous situation. Mother's Day just around the corner. Teachers Appreciation Week almost in the rear view. Some tributes, some tribulations, and some great music, including your Forgotten 45s. Are you listening live? It is Friday, May 6th. It's 10 a.m. out west, high noon central, and 1 o'clock here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Facebook page, comment, chat box available should you have gotten that social media memo and joining us on the live ride. Twitter, of course, at 24/7 Tango. At AD Writes, all being held by the talented, ever-ready, happy TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, NOAA headquarters, delighted over that amazing win by our New York Mets. More on that, perhaps, a little later. The show, by the way, brought to you in part by Dunkin'. The universe still runs in Dunkin'. Indulge in all your favorites and try their new refreshers for the season, from pineapple to mango. The universe runs in Dunkin'. PopNet 2, with arts, culture, conversation, on air, online, up and running 24/7, featuring select editions of the Amy Beth Arkley Show. And those robust roundtables, I almost lost my voice on one of those this week. It's been a tough week. But then again, Mama said there'd be days like this. Let's talk about it on the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Happy to have you aboard.
Smoke about to scare me half to death. Open up the window, let me going nowhere yet, but I don't want to see no more. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. Mama said it ain't the way to have fun.
Mother, my mother, what is the phrase? She isn't quite herself today.
mother took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The brother tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top." The buzzer told the monkey, "You are choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free." The monkey looked the buzzer right dead in the eye and said, "Your story is so touching, but it sounds just like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top." Papa, don't you blow your top. Fly right.
Fly right indeed. Advice given from many a mom to many a kid. The great late Nat King Cole on the Amy Beth Berkley Show for Celeste, who says, "Miss my mom so much," and she loved Nat King Cole. You know what? I am right there with you. My mom was a great Nat King Cole fan, too. She's been gone a few years already, and I miss her every single day. Think about her, talk about her. She is imbued in my soul, so there is a solace that those of us who've lost our moms can have. Cherish those memories. And by the way, if you still have your mom, cherish every moment with her. Please heed my advice on that one. And a beauty from Bill Withers. Lovely day. That's for the TCS crew, because despite all the woes in the world, it is a lovely day after the Mets pulled out that amazing victory. They were down. I just turned it on. Perfect serendipitous timing. I turned it on at the beginning of the ninth inning, and they were down, I think it was 7-1. And I was like, forget this. They wound up winning 8-7. You talk about an amazing victory in so far a very amazing season. Let's go, Mets. Keep it up, guys. You got to love it. And a pair for the mamas, "Mama Told Me Not to Come" from Randy Newman. He penned the song. I know Sweet O' Night have a hit with it, but I kind of like his version better. And "Mama Said" from the Shirelles, that one for Heart of Your Regulars, Pearlie, Susie, and Dawn. And thank you guys via the PopNet chat box and Twitter, respectively, for your kind words. Love playing with you in real time. Don't forget, though, all the shows are archived for podcasts, so if you miss any of it, want to hear it again at your convenience, follow the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll be with you all the time. So lots of stuff talking about. We've been doing it all week about the whole Roe v. Wade perilous position. I'm not really shocked. The writing of the screed, that's what I can call it, from Samuel Alito to kind of overturn and throw the whole thing out, including exceptions like for rape, incest, and health of the mother, is pretty scary stuff. Now, that may be, of course, it's not official. We have to note that, and we've been talking about this all week long. It hasn't been officially. It was leaked. The Republicans, no surprise, want to play the parlor game. Who the heck leaked it and why? And they're blaming the liberals. I'm not so sure who would be more advantageous to, the liberals or the conservatives, but that's besides the point. It's what's contained in the document that's scary. And maybe the ruling will be watered down. And maybe that, to me, says maybe a conservative put it out, because if it's watered down, it's not as bad as we thought, that kind of thing. I don't know. Maybe it was liberal who put it out because they wanted to say, this is what we're up against, folks. Well, we're up against it. I knew we've been up against this in 2016. As soon as Donald Trump announced, he announced that he would only appoint justices who would overturn Roe v. Wade. He said this to a country that has a 70% population, including Republicans and independents, who don't want to see it overturned. I thought he was done for, but people take it for granted. We just assumed it will never happen because all these judges, including the right-wingers who were handpicked from the Federalist Society because of this position, pretty much lied before Congress and said it's stare decisis, established law, we're not going to touch it. So Susan Collins, the oh-so-concerned Susan Collins, says she was lied to by Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. Coney Barrett kind of danced around it. She said it's not super precedent, but it's not, I'm not the queen of the laws, that kind of thing. I don't know if they were committing perjury or not, but it seems to me they lied, pretty much. And they had the opportunity to throw it out, and this is going to throw a whole bunch of people in this country in a big quagmire. It's going to be a real bad scene. And what do we have to do? We have to mobilize. We have to vote these people out and see what we can do. And, of course, there is that bill in Congress coming up next week, I think, of the Women's Health Bill, which will codify Roe v. Wade nationally, which will offer protections, but they don't have the votes for it. And, you know, you can't blame Biden and everything. They don't have the votes because we need more Democrats, not less, which means stop sitting on your hands and get out there and vote for people who will indeed protect these rights. Now, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski both, I don't know what Murkowski said about voting for it or not, but Collins says she won't vote for the bill because it doesn't allow exceptions for Catholic hospitals, et cetera. Elizabeth Warren says there's another bill that Collins and Murkowski put out that has a more watered-down version, I guess, and Elizabeth Warren says there are too many loopholes. Well, maybe they can come up with a compromise that they can all agree on. Maybe have a loophole for Catholic hospitals, but as long as the provisions that people will be covered elsewhere. I mean, there has to be some way where people can come together because that's usually how it all happens, somewhere in the middle with compromise. It's crazy. We can't go backwards 50 years. Plus, it opens the door for other things. People in the LGBTQ community are very panicky about this because marriage equality has certainly been had a lesser lifespan so far than Roe v. Wade in terms of being the law of the land. Can that be overturned, too, with the same flimsy logic that Alito applied here? And birth control and some really grim ideas that they're going to prosecute people who have miscarriages. How much tragedy is that? I mean, it's outrageous. Indeed, it is. Let's see what you guys are saying about it. I know we've been talking about it all week in various venues. Jess says, we have to save us. We can do it. Roe v. Wade codified in the Senate. Vote for blue no matter who and people who are definitely pro-choice. But Ashley says, can we please stop acting like the Dems are going to do anything? It's over, y'all. We lost. I don't know, Ashley. You can't give up that easily. We have to fight. We lost maybe right now. And by the way, as we keep saying, it has not been lost because the ruling did not officially come down yet. So it's still the law of the land as of right now. What happens by the time they release it at the end of June, we'll see. We know it's gloom and doom on the horizon, but it doesn't mean it can't be fixed. We can't just give up the fight, and that has to do with voting. And again, they talk about the enthusiasm gap, that the base of the Republicans are all ginned up to vote for Republicans. But what about the Democrats? Stop blaming Biden for everything. It's not his fault. By the way, the numbers came out. Yeah, inflation is a pain. There's no question about it. I just looked at my grocery list, and I'm like, God, I can't believe the prices have gone up this much. But the unemployment rate is still consistently down. They added over 400,000 jobs in April. There are some good economic indicators. The Democrats have to get in front of the messaging, and that's another story that we'll talk about. But they really have to sell their stories. But in terms of protecting rights, civil rights, human rights, reproductive rights, women's rights, the Democrats are the only party that you can trust right now, and that's what you have to do and go for it. So what else do we have? Rocker says, there's a Netflix documentary called Reversing Roe. It's a must-see, especially now with all that's happening with Roe v. Wade. It includes interviews with abortion rights supporters and opponents. Lifts the lid over the decades-long political campaign to overthrow Roe. You know, these things, I've seen a couple of interesting documentaries about the abortion movement. Jesus Camp is one of them. I forget the other one about the two abortion about the abortion clinic and the Right to Life clinic on the same avenue. Very profound and interesting. And over the years, I have interviewed a lot of Operation Rescue types, people who are anti-abortion. They're typically older, skewed older, typically a very often male representations. And when they come to the question of who's going to protect these kids once they're born, it's a homada-homada situation. Now, I know that's not true for everybody, and there are people who are very keen on adoption rights. I understand that. But it's not that easy for some people. And Amy Coney Barrett, who during the hearing for this Mississippi law that this Alito's screed may apply to, or will apply to, was very casual with her attitude. Her attitude is, well, now they have these safe haven laws. It's not as much of an issue anymore because they can just drop the baby off at a firehouse or hospital. You're missing the point. You don't know how emotionally precarious positions people are in. You don't know what the situation is health-wise, financially, emotionally. If somebody has been raped, you're forcing them to take a pregnancy to term. If someone knows they have birth defects, the child will be subjected to pain and a very short, painful life. Again, people make their own decisions. And I know there are people that feel there's a graceful moment in that. I saw a documentary where they had a woman who knew the the family knew that the child was going to be born deformed and wasn't going to live very long, but she still wanted to take it, determined did. And I find that my heart goes out to her, but it also goes out to someone who won't put themselves through it and believes they don't want to put their child through it. I mean, there's so many questions that are not about your personal belief. Biden is Catholic. He doesn't believe in abortion. I heard somebody else say this, that they don't believe in abortion, but and this is my view. You might not want to have one yourself, but you might also say, I can't impose my view and my circumstance on another person, and that's the truth. And I think it really should be a private matter, as it has been for close to 50 years. It's just outrageous to me that the government is interfering there. But, of course, don't tread on me. Don't make me wear a mask. That always boggles my mind. Marie says, I love it, Marie says, or we could just snip boys at the onset of puberty, reverse it when all the parties agree he's going to be a responsible dad and a breadwinner. Well, you got to have a little levity in this. That's certainly not going to happen. But, yeah, people have said, you know, if men had to have abortions, men got pregnant, abortions would be available at an ATM. I've heard that one, so it's bad. In any event, we have to fight back. We can't give up, Ashley. I think it's way too soon for that, and it's never going to – we just can't. We can't roll ourselves back in society. That's the point. We have to roll towards progress. Now, we have to make some compromises along the way. That's one thing. But part of the compromise for the Democrats is to vote blue no matter who, and if you're – perfect candidate is not available, vote for next best, because a Republican is not going to do it for you. That much I can tell you. And, you know, if you talk about this issue, I was just thinking about Leslie Gore this week, who would have celebrated her 76th birthday had she lived. She passed away a few years ago. She was a pop teen queen, but she had this one song that became sort of a pre-feminist and now feminist anthem. And I don't know if she intended it in then, but it's a powerful song indeed. Leslie Gore, you're smiling somewhere, because I know she became an activist in her later years. You don't own me. I'm Amy Beth Berkowitz.
You don't own me. I'm not just one of your many toys. You don't own me. Don't say I can't go with other boys. And
fix it together. Sheryl Crow, Jason Isbell, putting their contemporary musical thumbprint on the Bob Dylan classic on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. And CSNY, that dark beauty, Ohio, commemorating the Kent State Massacre, which happened 22 years ago now, 1970. It was May 4th, 1970. Wow. What if you knew her and found her dead on the ground? How could you run when you knew, when you know? It's powerful stuff, powerful song, and a horrible, commemorating a very horrible event in our history. And Leslie Gore, an accidental feminist anthem as we face encroachment of our reproductive rights and civil rights. You don't own me. Fight on, folks. We can't just blithely walk into Gilead. No, no, Ashley, we can't say it's all over. We got to fight and fight on. That means mobilizing, vote blue no matter who. I'm going to do call-outs in targeted areas. Do what you can do that you feel comfortable doing. Obviously, some folks are into protesting. Some folks are into organizing. Some folks are into calling, running for office themselves. But vote out the people that are not. Don't sit on your hands, that's for sure. That's not an option. And don't just do a purity test that the candidate isn't perfect, because we got to get more people in. You know, everybody wants to blame Joe Biden. He's doing what he can with what he's got. He needs more people. He needs more Democrats in both the House and the Senate. And the media, and I know I say this every freaking week, and I'm going to keep saying it, is complicit in this. They keep saying, well, you know, usually the party in power loses in the midterms, and that's probably what's going to happen. And they just kind of assume it's going to happen. Let's not assume, because we're living in very dangerous times right now, existential threat to democratic principles in this country. We have the next two elections are going to be crucial. They could be our last real elections if the Republicans have their way. The Trumpian trend, and it's not just Trump himself. It's all these people that have signed on to the big lie, and all the business and the cultural war stuff they're trying to stir up is taking the eyes off the prize of what is really at stake, which is democracy in and of itself, and certainly reproductive freedom and women's rights is something which has been thought about for most folks' lifetimes, or close to it, for the last 50 years, is in peril. No joke. So we have to fight about it. That's my take on it. What's yours? Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PopNet chat box. A lot of folks pretty inspired by this or incensed by it. Elizabeth Warren herself, Carly, retweeting Elizabeth Warren saying, I'm madder than hell, and I'm determined to fight like hell. That's the key. You got to fight like hell. You can't just assume it's all over. And we got to fight. And the way to fight is to get more people in and make sure that you're voting for people who are going to do the right thing. The fact that a disgraced, twice impeached, that's never happened before in this country, twice impeached, disgraced Oval Office occupant had the chance to put in three Supreme Court justices with the biggest assist by the turtle himself, Mitch McConnell, because he held up the Merrick Garland nomination. They strong-armed Anthony Kennedy to resign, and of course, don't forget that his son was or is, I don't know if he still is, Trump's banker at Deutsche Bank. And then they rammed through Amy Coney Barrett with only a month or two before the election when they refused to do it for a year before the election with Garland. Mitch McConnell engineered it, and he's got the three fright-wingers that he needed to solidify the conservative fright-wing, really fright-wing bent, and this is where we are, why we are where we are, not to mention the fact that those folks all lied, including Alito, I believe, also said it was stare decisis back when he was nominated and confirmed during the Bush administration. So it's you got to remember where we're coming from and know your history. And you know, Teacher Appreciation Week is wrapping up, and I want to give a shout-out. Usually I give the biggest shout-out goes to Doris Sertrao, who was my junior high school and also high school English teacher, who was the first to encourage me outside my family and said, you're truly a gifted writer, and that fertile seed was planted. Many have watered it since. I've been very blessed. But I also had some impressive folks on the political front, the social studies teacher, Bill Johnson, who I already had a little bit of cynicism and curiosity, certainly, about the world, and certainly stoked that, Jane Grunenbaum with Sarah Lawrence and others. So I've been blessed in a lot of ways as far as teacher appreciation goes. Teachers really can make a difference and do a lot for a lot of folks. So if you have a good teacher, you're going to remember that person. They're going to change your life for a long time. And I learned, the other social studies teacher, Bill Mendelson, talked to us about a very effective exercise, learning about elections and gerrymandering. So I was very lucky and fortunate. I don't know what's going on in classrooms now because teachers are so restrictive. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, it was very, at least in our area, pretty permissive, and the parents were, you think parents would be more conservative back then than they are now. I mean, it was suburban New York, I guess. They weren't that conservative, but they weren't wacko liberal either. But they wanted us to be exposed to life and to learning, and that's what education's about. not to hold back and ban books and roll things back 50 or 100 years. It doesn't make sense. You got to learn about the good and the bad when it comes to the country. And right now, there's a lot of bad going on, and we have to try to fight that. So fight it with what you got and do that. But it's remarkable to me that a guy who never should have been president, lost the popular vote, cheated his way on the first time, cheated his second time, but it didn't work out, got us, we're stuck with that legacy, those three Supreme Court justices who lied and talked about stare decisis. Susan Collins is concerned, we know. She's not voting for the women's health bill. But I say, let's work with her. Can you work with her? Is there some way to do it? I don't know what is in it that she objects to, but maybe take something out and you know, water down a little bit, not to the point where it doesn't work. But we'll see what we can do. And Kim says, anyone who says pro-lifers anyone who says pro-lifers care about women, but they don't after the women give birth. Some of them do. Some of them do. I agree with that, Kim. Some of them do. Of course, some of them do. But it's still imposing your will. But a lot of them don't, because the policies certainly don't. If you look at the GOP policies, I always say you're pro-life before birth and after death, but in between, not so much. You're on your own. That's the policies. But there are certainly religious people. There are certainly Catholic groups. There are certainly people who do. I'm not saying they don't. And adoption is an option, but it's not an option for everybody. And that's what I'm saying. You're imposing your will. Sometimes it's not an option physically or emotionally, depending on the person's circumstance. And it's not up to me or you or anybody else, regardless of your religious affiliation, to impose that on somebody else. It just isn't. And there's no viability in life. You can say what you believe, and if you believe it begins at conception, then you don't have to have an abortion yourself, and you don't have to teach your children to do that. But to impose it on somebody else, and you don't know their circumstances, to me is morally wrong. That's my viewpoint, and the government should stay out of it. We do have what we call separation of church and state, allegedly, but it's always been mixed up a little bit. And God, we trust is on the dollar bill and all that stuff. It's crazy, crazy talk. Jeff says the whole Roe v. Wade thing in the Supreme Court sounds like it's up to Putin. We're going in the wrong direction in this country. Yeah, well, that's what it's all about. That's what I'm saying. It's all tied in together, and it's all about this movement towards a very right-wing agenda that I think is very scary, and we should all be scary regardless of what party you come from, came from, etc. Republicans are not the same as they were, that's for sure. Twitter, AB Rights, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PopNet chat box. Do want to say something about Naomi Judd, who passed away apparently due to suicide last week, right before she was inducted along with her daughter Winona as the Judds in the Country Music Hall of Fame, showing that mental illness is a real illness, and it's not about externals, it's about your internal struggles. She was very open with her struggles with depression. She wrote a book about it, talked about it a few years ago, and apparently succumbed to it. So heart goes out to her family, especially her girls. I know they're women now. You're always a girl with your mom, though. They're in their 50s, but Winona and Ashley, heartbreaks. They actually showed up the day after at the induction ceremony, and what a heartbreak that was, what strength it took them. So virtual hugs all around for them. They've been embraced by the world for sure, but mental illness is a real thing, and we have to take it seriously, and it's always important to check in on your friends and your family and your loved ones and do what you can, but some people just succumb to it, just like any other illness. It's just horrible. So, but the music lives on. She left behind a lot of great music along with her daughter, Winona, so they were rightfully inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. And so many people struggle. It's not a shame to struggle. You do what you can. And sometimes, you know, creativity can help channel your energies. It doesn't always work, but when it does, it can help you. And I'm happy when the Inspiration Action Challenge helps some folks reconnect with their inner artists. You can process your anxieties, assuage your pain, and come up with something, and sometimes something great and wonderful. And Mickey in Bar Harbor, Maine, says, I'm writing poetry and dancing again. Thank you so much for the push. I love the spirit, and you got me going on a journey a few years ago, and I'm not getting off. Glad to hear it, Mickey. Send us some stuff and keep at it. Hey, Inspiration to Action, if it's worked for you, I'd love to give you a shout-out. You deserve it. You're also helping other folks reconnect with their own inner artists, and if you need a little push in that direction, I can help you with a creativity coaching counseling conversation. First one, as always, is on me, but give me a couple of weeks to connect. Please do so via the website, amybetharkawi, A-R-K-A-W-I.com, easy access to the Twitter feed. And while you're there, if you love mysteries, please avail yourself of the award-winning Eliza Gordon Mystery Series. That's my series via Cozy Cat Press, ebook, paperback. It's available. Other goodies are there, too. You can also connect with social media, and we have links to the podcast. Place for you to chime in if you've got a guest suggestion, big story, forgotten 45 request. There you can do it at the website, amybetharkawi.com. And hats off to all the great teachers out there. We wrap up Teacher Appreciation Week. I'm the Amy Beth Arkawi Show.
seen some of your students. Very scary. You must be a good teacher.
Teacher, I need you. I mean, that's our cliche as we wrap up Teacher Appreciation Week. And that one for Mindy, who says, I had a great teacher, a math teacher, and I don't even like math, back up a sec, high school. All right. She doesn't mention any names. I don't want to embarrass anybody, Mindy. Good for you. And teacher from Rockpile. Hope you had a good teacher, at least one, and maybe many, that have given you a great start in your life. Teachers are so important. It is the Annabeth Berkowitz Show. I want to mention the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And inductees were announced. Last week we did the talk about the fan vote, and a couple of surprises because some of the folks that are inducted didn't quite do well in the fan vote, but they are Duran Duran, who won the fan vote, Eminem, Eurythmics, Dolly Parton, despite her protestations, Lionel Richie and Carly Simon, despite not doing so well in the fan vote. I'm so happy they're in, and Judas Priest, and Pat Benatar, along with her husband Neil Giraldo, together. They packed a firepower punch that deeply impacted that classic rock sonic power of the 1980s. Pat, you're finally in with your hubby, and congratulations to all the inductees. One more heartbreak.
shame on you. I'm going to tell your mother on you.
For the life of me, remember a Saturday. I know they say let it be, but it just don't work out that way. And the course of a lifetime runs over and over again. No, I would not give you false hope now on this strange.
Crying and stay, and they are operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes.
Please, Mr. Avery, I just gotta talk to her.
I'll only keep her a while. Says Sylvia's hurrying, she's catching the 9 o'clock train. Sylvia's mother says, take your umbrella, 'cause Sylvia, it's starting to rain. And Sylvia's mother says, thank you for calling, and sir, won't you call back again? And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes.
Please, Mrs. Avery, I just gotta talk to her.
I'll only keep her a while.
Sylvia's mother on Amy Beth Thurkey's show, Dr. Hook, a forgotten 45 Mother's Day style for Brendan. Thanks for chiming in. And Paul Simon's mother and child reunion for Mavis. Appreciate the input, guys. And newly minted Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Dolly Parton, despite the protestations, here she comes again. And Pat Benatar and her husband, Neil Gerardo, getting in together as they should. Classic rock hardcore from the 80s. And beyond, and Heartbreaker. No more heartbreaks from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, indeed. Let's go around the social media horn one final time before we sashay out of here. Busy day. Thank you so much for playing with me in real time. As we always say, the shows are archived for podcasts, so follow the Amy Beth Arkley Show wherever you get your podcasts. And by the way, be on the lookout for our social media missives on where I'll be headed, as various shows I'm involved with on PopNet, PodStream, legal shows. Are you following the Depp thing and Amber Heard finally testifying this week? I don't know. Public opinion is still on Depp's side, but, you know, he's a hardcore drug addict, so some of his behavior that he's denying, maybe he didn't realize he was doing it. So I don't know. I still think it's going to be he said, she said wash with the jury, and both will come out with zippity-doo-dah in terms of damages, but they're damaged and tarnished, and I think that was the whole objective. So my heart does feel for both of them, really. We'll see how it all plays out. They're off next week because the judge has some kind of conference to go to. But Mario Batali, there's a case going on. He's being charged with assault, sexual assault in Massachusetts, and they're apparently carrying that case. We'll see how much and how long it lasts, because they're also apparently carrying that case of that romance writer accused of killing her husband, and they dropped that ball as soon as the Depp case came up. Their coverage on Court TV is iffy, if you know what I mean. But I'm doing some legal shows on PodStream, and we are kind of following it as best we can via the Internet and so forth. So we'll keep you posted, and also Arts Radio Network, et cetera. So be on the lookout for that. All roads lead to our website, amybetharkowee.com. Friend me on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at AB Writes. Our producer, Trudy Hart, is at Radio Trudy. Did I say that already? I'm sorry. Okay. Around the social media horn one final time. Bridget says, thanks so much. You hit the right chords, as usual, AB. Mother's Day is a double-edged kind of thing. I'm missing my mom. She's been gone for a lot of time, but it's hard. Yeah, I agree. It does get a little easier, I have to say, but it's still hard, and especially on certain days, and Mother's Day is certainly one of those, that's for sure. And Sherry says, it'll be the first Mother's Day without my mom. It's going to be hard indeed. Yeah, Sherry, I know it's going to be really hard for you, I'm sure. Do yourself a favor. I would recommend staying off social media, because folks are posting all kinds of happy, you know, whether it's happy memories or happy times they're currently having with their, and they should be doing that. Nobody says you shouldn't be doing it, but if it's going to trigger you, and it might trigger you, you might want to stay away just for a day or two, because the weekend will be saturated with that, and I do find sometimes I like to stay away from that for that point. But connect with family members if you can, friends, folks who understand what you're going through and possibly are on the same page with you in that regard. And reach out to us. As I said, social media will help you through if we can, okay? But my heart feels for you indeed. Grief is a big thing, but the love lives on. You know, I always say big grief, big love, you know, and you feel the loss. That is for sure. Please hang in there, folks. And we got it before. I'll be remiss if I don't mention Pete Seeger. You talk about someone who married activism and music for decades. He was the original great folk hero. We lost him a few years ago at 94. May 3rd, was the 102nd anniversary of his birth, and his legacy does live on, so we're going to leave you with one of his songs. In the meantime, thank you to TCS Crew, Trudy and Roar in the booth and the headquarters. Please, thank you for joining us live, and of course, catch the podcast if you have to. Drive safe, play nice, dream big, and come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkway Show. Pete Seeger out the door.
The best-known song of Woody's, though, is one that I'm convinced is going to last as long as any song in the world. It'll be known like Auld Lang Syne or something the world over.
I love y'all.
Again, it was something that actually happened to him. I've sung this song, but I'll sing it again. Of the place that I lived on the wild, windy plain, in the month of April, the county called Gray. Here's what all of the people there say. So long, been good to know you. So long, been good to know you. So long, been good to know you. The dusty old dust is getting my home. And I gotta be drifting along. The dust storm came and it came like thunder. Dusted us over, it covered us under. Blocked out the traffic, it blocked out the sun. And straight for home all the people did run. Oh, it's been good to know you. Oh, it's been good to know you. They sat in the dark and they sparked. They hugged and they kissed in that dusty old ark. They sighed, they cried, they hugged and they kissed. But instead of marriage, they were talking like this. Honey, so long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. The dusty old dust is getting my home. And I gotta be drifting along. Well, the telephone rang and it jumped off the wall. That was the preacher, he'd making his call. He said, kind friends, this may be the end. You got your last chance at salvation, at sin. Well, the churches were jammed, the churches were packed. The dusty old dust storm, it blew so black. The preacher could not read a word of his text. He folded his specs, took up collections. Oh,